Hello? Okay, welcome to the Love Faith Workshop. It's good to be back. I was here 2 years ago. We got a lot of positive feedback on that. 2 years ago, I was here to talk about lockpicking and the way that we experience it. We are practicing lockpicking as a sport, as a hobby, and it's really big in Germany. We're hoping to get big in the Netherlands and other parts. And so far, I have not known of an American lockpick sport group. Let me introduce Mike Grayson. He did the electronic control panel.
Access control.
And now we take a step back from the electronic world to the analog world in picking and manipulating normal locks without any chips or any of those type of things. Mike brought a lot of tools. I understand that he brought a cutaway multi-lock, high security lock, that there's only two in the world of. Maybe you can tell something about it.
It's big, it's expensive, and it's rare. It's a big multi-lock made two of them for demonstration. One multi-lock has and one is here today. It's a real big thing. Fully functional lock, I don't know if you can see from there, we'll put on the thing after. But you can do fully move, it's a real multi-lock key, interactive. And makes nice noise when you put the key in. Yeah, I never actually counted, I think it's five. One, two, three, four, five, six. Regular multi-lock usually has 6 pins. Some of them have 5, depending on if you go with 1-inch mortise cylinder or an inch and 8.
Okay, anyway, let's go back into the details later. So we're here to talk about lock picking. The first 5 minutes of this introduction are always boring to people who know anything about it already. But there is just some basic things we need to explain for people to understand how lockpicking works and what makes it work. When I asked it last time to people to raise their hand when they already knew something about picking, almost 80% lift their hands, but I want to check it anyway. Who knows anything about lockpicking? Yeah, that's amazing. But still, for you, okay. Take another 5 minutes, I'll try to explain to the other people a little bit on how it works. I hope I can get this to work. This is a cutaway padlock. I'll try to focus on padlocks a little bit today. I think it's fun, especially for picking locks. It's a nice thing to hold in your hand. Any other locks, they just don't have a good feel, and when the lock opens it gives a nice click. So, for a hobby, it's a real nice tool to pick padlocks. Also, I want to say a little disclaimer about picking locks.
Stealing bad,
okay. Anyway, all the things I will explain today are sort of common knowledge. You have to look for them, but you can always find it. But, yeah, you could use it in a wrong way. However, if you want to use wrong techniques to open locks, then picking really is not your thing, because to actually become mastering the art of lock picking will take you many years to practice it right before you get to a level that you could actually use it. People that are into bad things, they know with a screwdriver they can have the same effect. They just pop open doors. If you want to do bad stuff, brute force is your friend, because much easier to break a lock than to pick a lock. A lot of the techniques that I will talk about are also described in a very good book. we call it the Lockpick Bible, and it's written by a guy, Mark Tobias. And this really is a book that talks about from the oldest locks from Egypt till the newest high security locks. If you're into lockpicking, get this Bible. You can get it on security.org. You can order it there. And it's really the best book so far. I have found only little locks that are not in this book, and most of the time it will even tell you the weak spots of the lock. And it's called Locks, Safes and Security, the second edition. He also has a number of CDs that come with the book. There's three categories: the normal people, the locksmiths, and the intelligence community. For the normal people, I think it's 2 CDs. For the locksmiths, it's 4 CDs. And for the intelligence community, there's 10 CDs. So not all the techniques are in the book. And if the book says this lock cannot be picked, take it with a grain of salt, because there is higher interest in, you know, if the lock is in the door of the Iraqian embassy, they're not going to tell you it can be picked. But if you manage to get the 10 CDs, I'm interested. Okay, let's talk about the basics of picking locks. Normally a lock has a row of pins. The lock construction is made. Yeah, it's complex. There's a core in the lock here, you see. Then there is, what do we call this, Mike? The base?
And what kind of lock you call it? What do you mean, piece name is?
Okay, there's a rotating part.
The plug.
The plug, okay. And the rest is the core.
The rest would be the cylinder or the body.
Okay.
And you want to do this one?
Maybe you better explain how the lock works, because.
Okay, let me throw them both on there then. Okay, there's 2 colorway cylinders. Easiest way to do a shove, I'm just going to pull out the key and watch what happens. You have the springs, then top pins, then bottom pins. The place between the top pin and bottom pin is called the shear line. And now, everything I say right now, I'm very basic, so anyone that knows about master keying and all kinds of ball bearing systems, ignore it now. So right now, it's just very basic. When you pull out the key, I don't know if you can see this, someone yell at me if you can't see it well. When you pull out the key, the different pins move up and down. Until now, if you look very closely, the shear lines are not matched up with the plug and the cylinder shear line. So the pins are in different places than the plug. Unless they line up and you have a straight line, you're not turning the lock, unless you have a big screwdriver. So what you want to do is you want to get them to line up. You can either use a key, a pig gun, or a couple other ways. And that's basic lock terminology. Plug, cylinder, or body. On the back, you have a cam with tail piece, depending on the type of lock, a couple of step screws, and some pins, some springs. While we're at it, let's show this real quick. So a pin kit for when you set up locks with a locksmith, you'd use this. Throw it on there.
Can we plug this up?
Can you zoom out a lot? Yeah, keep going. Okay. That's about as far out as I can go. That's many, many, many different size pins. In this case, I happen to go from, for top pins, those are flat on both sides. Bottom pins have a point, so the key flows better, theoretically. The bottom pins go from 1/10,000th of an inch all the way up to somewhere over there. It's like 185/10,000th of an inch. The pins are going from real little to real big. I can't have that much as long as I was. Yes? The Bible usually I refer to on most locks, like, where do I have it? In this type of lock. Can we see that? This piece, where the springs are in, a lot of people call that the Bible. Only reason I'm not is just to keep the name simple. Sure. Some books are called the Bible, and some are thank you.
Okay.
That's a lock.
Don't drop this.
Everyone that comes gets 1 free pin.
Okay, for picking, sometimes you see a movie, James Bond is walking to a door, he sticks in something, up he's in. That's called a key.
Thank you.
suspension range. I've putting a few up here. And actually, what you are doing with the tension wrench, see if I can focus. What you're doing with the tension wrench is you insert it into the lock. Like this. And thereby forcing the lock to bind on one or two pins. As you can see, there's five rows of double pins, low and high pins. What you do with the tensioner is you put it in and you turn it as if it was a key. But since the pins are not aligned in the correct height, the pins will jam the lock from turning. That's the whole idea. You're pushing tension on the lock, it will bind. Because of mechanical imperfect stuff, the lock will not bind on all five pins at the same time. There's always one or two pins that are a little bit thicker, or that the lock is not drilled perfectly well. And when you put tension on the lock, it will normally bind on one or two pins. Then what you do is you go in with what is called a feeler pin, and it's just a simple, it's like a finger. They call it the finger pick, the feeler pick. And what you do is, once you have tension on the lock, you go into the lock. You go into the lock, and with the feeler pick, you go one by one of the pins. You try to push them up, and if you feel resistance, then that is a pin that's binding. And that pin, when you put tension on the lock, you find a binding pin. You lift it up, and if you reach the right height where the lock will actually turn, the lock will make a little click. The inner core will rotate just a little bit, and the tension will go off the pin because you will feel it fall back. There's no strength on it anymore, and you just set one pin. Now, there's five pins in there. Say that, for instance, the first pin was the number two that was binding. Then you set the number two. Then you go feel for the rest, and you feel, for instance, that the number four is binding. You try to set it, and that's actually how it goes. You just set all the pins in the right position. So far, any questions?
One quick thing, actually. What you're saying basically is, from what I understand, because of mechanical imperfections in the manufacturing process, since you can't make it perfect, is why lockpicking is possible. Since pins aren't exactly perfectly inside the channels, they have a little bit of play. The more play, the easier to pick, as a general rule. If it's very, very tightly manufactured, it's going to be very hard to pick. Because they can slightly cock and slightly move, you can catch right that shear line, put tension there, and catch that shear line. That's what picks is all about, and you have to do one pin, another pin, etc., etc., so you run out of pins, and you lock buttons. Yes?
Well, like
COVID-free
systems, and things like that, are they successful in the majority of the battle?
Okay, I've just been notified that for questions, we need a microphone, so they can also take the question. So let's first do the 20-minute intro, and then we go to the questions. I've been asked to do that. So. Okay, I here have a very cheap padlock. I mean, it's like $2 or $3, but for demonstrating, it's very good because there's a lot of people, a lot of tension, and if I don't pick the lock,
we laugh.
Okay, so here's this cheap lock. Here's the tensioner. I insert it high into the lock. I hope you can see it. I hope it's in focus. Let's see if I can focus a little bit better. Okay, now I take the feeler pick, go in, and try to push the pins, and I find that the number one pin is binding, thick. I just set it. This is a very cheap lock, it doesn't have, I don't even think it has five rows of pins. I go in more.
Remember when people watch these never work. It's true.
Okay, I picked it. It's over. is a very cheap lock, and today we'll talk about picking, but I'll also talk about bypassing, because picking is nice, but sometimes there are even faster ways and quicker ways to pick a lock. For instance, when I look at the mechanical inside of this lock, and we opened one up in the Netherlands, I found that the mechanism that's holding the shackle can actually be pushed straight away. If I just push in anything, it opens. This you don't need to be a good lock picker. You just stick something in the back and wiggle it a little bit and it will just open. But there's more. When you look at the padlock, you see here the two cuts that hold the shackle in the body, as I call it. There's two types of mechanisms. There's the right and the wrong. The right one are mechanical perfect systems that if you turn the key, actually a piece of metal is being rotated and taken out, and you can only close these locks when the key is inside. So you can you really need to turn the lock in order to remove the part that's holding the shackle in place. Well, this is a cheap lock. It's just a spring-loaded ball holding the shackle in place. And there's a tool for that. It's this. It's called the padlock shim. And what it does is it goes in between the shackle.
You rotate it.
Where's the arm? Let's see. Okay.
It's a secret, don't tell anyone.
So I'm actually pushing in this thing that's holding the shackle in place. I'll demo it once more. So when you pick locks, you don't normally necessarily always go with the pick tools first. You first look how is the lock constructed, what's the thing. For instance, the organization of H2K2, which I would like to thank for this great event anyway, it's really nice so far. They came with this lock. It's a master padlock.
Every gym lock in the world has one of these. And school locker and everything else, basically.
Okay, they said we want to secure some areas. Is this a good lock? Well, I didn't know it, and that's why I also requested people on the website to bring some US locks so we can get some experience with these locks. And I looked at the lock and I said, well, I can give it a try. And I put in the padlock shim. Demonstrated this to some people, their mouth really fell open and said, and they said, did you know every high school in America is using this lock? And I said, I don't want to know this, but So I didn't even try if I could manipulate the lock, because it probably might be possible as well.
It is.
Okay, but I didn't even bother to go deeper into the knowledge. But this is really bad example because, or it's actually a good example of bad design. If so many of these locks are sold, it's probably only like 1 cent more expensive to make it mechanically so that you cannot push this part inside with spring-loaded stuff. It's very easy to make it mechanically perfect. But yeah, the fact that they don't do it is just because they save 1 cent, they make a million locks, they think, well, go for it. So anyway, yeah, that's the part on bypassing locks. I also brought some other tools like this. This is actually what a lot of locksmiths use to open locks. They don't bother to learn how to pick locks because there is much easier ways to open locks than by picking. As I told in the intro, picking is a very time extensive thing. You have to practice a lot. You got to have some feeling. It really takes a lot of time. It's great. It's a nice hobby. I even pick it when I'm watching a movie. Or I also did pick locks when I was traveling on airplanes, but since September 11, I decided to leave my picks alone because some of them are sharp and you never know what people might think. But that really is a shame. The pick gun. Now, how does a pick gun work? I talked about that 2 years ago a little bit. I didn't have any pick guns with me by that time, so I thought, well, I'll bring some now. What the pick gun does is it works with the what do you call it?
Vibration. Vibration.
Vibration spring tension. What it does is actually pops the pins so that the top and bottom separate. Once the top and bottom separate, you turn real quick and you catch the shoe on.
Sure, that's what I'm going to explain.
That's where we end.
Okay, normally. A lock has two pins, and we'll think of these two locks as pins. And when they're at the right height, the lock will turn. Now think of this as two pool balls. Here's the third one. When I hit with this one straight onto the middle ball now, what will happen? Only the top one will go, and this one will stay in place. No matter how hard you can hit it, only the top one will move. And that's exactly what this pick gun will do. The needle of the pick gun will stick into the lock, it will reach all the lower pins, and it will hit the top pins all in a row up. So at one moment that there's just this split second of gap. And in this split second of gap, you have to turn it. That's the moment that you have to apply tension to the lock to turn it. My dear brought me a lock. I have not tried to open it with this pick gun yet. So,
stress. Sometimes no matter how hard you try, you can't get it. As a locksmith, I was locksmith for 3 years in the field. Most jobs I went on, I tried picking for 5 minutes. If I couldn't get 5 minutes, I'd either drill the lock, pop the door, or use another method, depending on what kind of lock it was. Considering the fact that cars, I almost never would pick a car lock. Some locks you can pick, some you can't. Well, none you can't. Some are really hard, as most people here would say. Did you get it?
Okay, now imagine that there is locksmiths that do this all day, and they normally only take one or two shots, and they just pop open the lock. It's real easy, it's real addictive. When you are but when you are into picking locks, I can sometimes spend like 15 minutes in opening a lock, and I know that if I have the gun, two or three pops, and it can be opened. So this technique works with trying to hit a shear line and then quickly turning it. There's also another tool. It's this one.
It's not a vibrator.
Well, it is. Now, this pick has been modified by the owner. I'm not the owner of the tool. There's this guy in the Netherlands called Paul Krauwel. He runs a company in lock tools. It's also called lock tools. And he was, he borrowed me the tool. And he modified it a little bit so it became even a better tool, but it became a little bit more noisy, which for him doesn't matter because he's official a door opener. When people lose their keys, he'll open it for them. And this is one of his favorite tools. What it does is it just hits the hammer, or it hits the spike many times, thereby creating a lot of shear lines. And what you do with this is you just stick it in the lock, you hit it a few times, you put tension on random intervals, and most of the time the lock will open real quick. We're going to try it.
That's hard doing handheld, by the way. You usually have a lock mounted on something. This is too big.
You really don't need a lot of experience to operate one. But yeah, people can make better locks, more high secure locks, and I think they should do that as well. But yeah, as long as the industry makes these locks, people can easily get into them.
Does it work on a padlock?
It could work on a padlock.
There's no reason for it not to work on any standard type cylinder. Most padlocks are standard type, you'll see difference. But as far as most questions,
okay, I hear that there are only 20 minutes left.
Yeah, let's really raise it.
Okay.
Yes,
okay, let's see.
High security or standard stuff in the world?
Let's go into high security. Maybe you demonstrate your multi-lock lock.
Okay, if you want to show us, if you want to do your thing with your multi-lock cylinder like this? Or?
Yeah, I'll.
This is the multi-lock, pig-proof lock, in case you didn't pick them. This cylinder is kind of larger than normal. There's two of these in the world. Multilock has one. I have the other. Hold it up, said guy. Okay, let's hold this up. I can't speak while I hold it up, so hold me for a second. This is multi-lock. Multi-lock uses a double pin or pin in pin system where you have an exterior pin, and if you jump that exterior pin, it would be just like a normal lock. But if you took a drill, it goes straight through the inside of an exterior pin, you have an inside pin. So you have to get both of them to match.
Oh my God.
Plus, the keyway is a horizontal keyway instead of a vertical keyway. So when you take out your key, everybody gets the key stuck in the door because they're sitting there with it straight up and down and it goes sideways. So if you ever have that problem, try to find this. Look like a hero. This is a fully functional lock. This is a fully functional key. Awfully big, fully functional key. And that's pretty much the way it works. It's a very simple concept, a very well designed concept. Please don't pick it now that it's so well designed. And I don't know if you can see in the picture how the pins move. If you look carefully, I can't see. I'm just going to hold this in my hand. Does this work? I'm going to hate you from one of those mic. Okay, I cannot see them all. Got the red pins here, which are going to be the top pins. Can you see? I can't see what I'm doing, so.
Yeah.
You've got the red pins here, which are the top pins. That's the outer top. You got it? You picked one already. You've got the outer top pins, you've got the inner top pins, and I'm doing this one. Then you have the bottom pins down here, which, since there's a key in there, aren't going to move. Now, when you push it in, everything lines up and it turns. It's supposed to turn. And if you put the key open all the way, it works better. There we go. Okay, the lock's broken. So that's basically multi-lock in a quick overview. For more details, it's publicly available on the internet. Let's go on to some other locks real quick. But you should pick that one real quick. I can't do that. I wish I could.
Well, picking the multi-lock is not as easy as it looks like. It takes a lot of training, and even I run into some multi-locks that are virtually impossible to pick. Sometimes it takes me more than half an hour, 45 minutes, to pick one of these locks. On the other hand, sometimes it only takes like 10 seconds. There is some variety, and one time it works, one time it doesn't work. I brought this lock because I knew I could open it. Maybe somebody has a multi-lock with him and he tries to pick it, but it probably won't go as fast as this one. Although it is very nice to demonstrate that it's really a big, heavy lock, and many people are really impressed. Okay. Now, this is protected, so you cannot use padlock shims. So I have to re-pick it again.
Well, I'm just going to show you a couple different size locks. The standard mortise cylinder, which would be a normal size cylinder, is this big. Then you go up one size to a quarter Russian jumbo cylinder. These haven't been used about 20 years, but they're still floating around. Then you go up one size. This is a lock most people here will hopefully never see. If any of you see it, I'm going to really kind of blast you guys. This is a detention cylinder used only in prisons. And normally you wouldn't have this, but it just so happened the company reps up, so I was able to get my hands on it too. Here's one of those. If you look inside of there, there are ball bearings for the pin to roll. There's all kinds of amazingly good things. That means I can't pick it. And I don't know if he can, but he's trying. Don't think he got it. It's a really, really hard lock to pick. It's basically just a really big cylinder, though. Lock of metal, hard to break.
Okay, time is running out, so I will quickly demonstrate some more lockpick tools. For instance, last time I was here, I got a lot of questions about this type of lock. You call it the ace lock?
Ace lock.
Right. There's a tool available for a long, long, long time, and it's this tool. And it really works on the most beautiful way a tool could ever work, because you don't have to do anything. You just stick in the tool in the lock. You wiggle it a little bit. You wiggle it, and there it goes. Now, the lock is open. Unfortunately, I don't have the shackle with it, but you probably...
Normally, that would mean you pull out the shackle now. That's a bicycle lock for those U-bolts. Everybody see it? That's what that is. Kryptonite, random, or something like that, yeah. And that's a basic tubular ace lock, and lock pick.
Now,
that's somewhat what's on the
machine. That's
on the machine,
yes.
Those have different pin configurations, some are 5, some are 7. There's
okay.
More.
How this technique works, because that's of course the really interesting part. It's nice that you can open it with just wiggling it, but what's the technique behind it? You can see all the pins. I'm trying to focus.
In a perfect world, you can see all the pins.
Okay, well, just trust me when I say that you can see all the pins in this lock. You can actually see them all. And what's happening is that once you stick this tool in, all the pins are being pushed back all the way at the back. This is how you reset the tool. Once you do that, once you insert the tool...
You're out of frame.
Okay, I now reset the tool, so all the feelers are in the deepest position. Okay. Okay, they're all in the highest position. Now, when I insert it into the lock, the pins are actually going to push the feelers back. And when they are at the right position, they're not binding anymore. And they're not pushing the tool back anymore. And that's how it works. Here, I got it again. And the lock just impressions, it gives a perfect impression of what the key looks like. I could even bring this to a key shop and get a copy of this key, which really is, it was a good design for many years. I think it was like 15 years that nobody could actually pick this lock. And then somebody found out and made this tool.
But impressioning, as this is called, is really a very valuable technique in lock picking. There's also something else that I don't think has been demonstrated quite a lot. People ask me about dimple keys. There's these type. I here have a cutaway dome lock, D-O-M, and it has five dimples, which means just holes. And here's a little ball, and the little ball is an extra protection. When you insert the key into the lock, the little ball will be pushed up. So it reaches a higher point than the blank normally can get. And that's also a copy protection, because in this way, nobody can make a blank for this key. It's very difficult to pick this lock. It's extremely difficult. They put in all sorts of anti-pick pins. It really is a very nasty lock to pick. On the other hand, I just explained to you a little bit about impressioning, and there is a very easy trick to open these locks, and I'll try to demonstrate it. Here, you see the original key. It has a deep cut, not so deep cut, deeper cut, not so deep cut. And here's the blank that we prepared. The blank has the cuts all the way to the deepest, so this key will never open a lock. We even made it a little bit deeper. All the holes are just a little bit deeper than they normally would get. And what I'm going to try to do now is put some aluminum tape over this blank key so it becomes high again, stick it in the lock, then the pins will push on the prepared key. They will bind. I will move it left and right, and the keys that bind will actually push deeper and deeper and deeper into the foil. And at one moment, hopefully, the lock will turn, and I have an exact copy of the key. And this is a technique that is that's possible on almost all dimple lock keys. It's not possible on the multi-locks, because they have pin-in-pin, and some have to be pushed upwards, and therefore it doesn't work on that. But it works on an amazingly amount of locks. Let's see, I have a small sensor somewhere.
Probably looking for the scissors real quick. There it is. And there's a lot of other high security locks out there. If we had a lot more time, we'd be able to go over that. So I'm just going to quickly show them right after it finishes right now. If you can find the scissor. Okay, until you find the scissor, I'll show one at a time real quick. Yeah? Real quick. Let's go with Medico first. Medico just got the most popular lock in New York City when you can go high security. Medico locks, if you see that poster, that's how they work. If you can't see the poster, you're not going to find out. The way they work is they have normal pins, up and down cuts. But if you look very closely at the key, you're going to see the key cuts are not straight, they're the angles. The key vertical, couldn't get it. And see those angles? If you look at those angles, what they're doing on the inside is the pins spin up to a third, I think, up to about a third. And in the side of the pin, there's a slot, so that once you spin it, it has to be in line with that slot. What happens on the side is there are a bunch of fingers. Those fingers have to go into the slot so they can turn. So you both have to do up and down, and those angles. There's left, right, and center angles, and there's a stand of six cuts. And when you start trying to pick that, you're going to have a heck of trouble. I personally don't know how you can pick it. I've heard there's one guy out in the middle of nowhere that can. This I consider a pretty darn good lock. The cam locks goes off. Oh, cam locks a little bit different. Yeah. Basically, that goes a very, very good, hard to pick lock. Let me go with another one while he's making the key.
I show you what I do. I put some of this aluminum foil that is being used in the car industry and the heating industry over this blank. So as you can now see, it's covered. The trick is that the way where the key will enter the lock, it has to be perfect, because that's where it will probably jam up if this goes wrong. Okay, so try to insert it.
We pick locks, we don't make films.
Okay. Now, the prepared blank is in the lock. And now I will wiggle it. this will take a little bit longer than the ACE lock, but hopefully the result will be the same. But anyway, if
on average, that would open the lock. Clip tin foil would slowly shape into the right levels. You go in there, you can wiggle, 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 pop. That's how the average wouldn't take very long.
Okay, there we go. $50 lock. So people are really going to be upset because this works with a lot of these dimple locks. I hope you can see it that, for instance, this deep cut, this not so deep cut. I hope you can see it. But they're actually quite similar. And I don't know if you can make a key from this, but who needs a key when you can?
Absolutely. Okay. Here's another one very much similar to it. It's called Yardini or Yardini. Once again, it's another dimple key setup. Same thing would probably work on it. I haven't tried yet, but when can we get home?
Okay. Then there's one more thing, and then we go to the questions. There's this brand called Abus, and they had on their website this very challenging text saying, nobody can pick our locks, no locksmith, no test institute, no burglars are ever known to pick our locks. And this is actually the type of key.
Okay.
Don't you love it when someone says it's impossible? Isn't that so great when you prove them wrong?
Yeah.
What a
rush.
Okay, in focus, hope everybody can see. In Germany, from my German lockpick friends, I bought this tool, which is now home. Nobody leaves. And it's this tool. And it's called the Fall tool because Mr. Fall made it. And it's a decoder pick. It picks the lock, but it also reads the lock. So you can make the key. Here you can see what pin you are picking. And here you can see the depth of the key. And yeah, with this tool you can open the lock that they claimed on their website could not be picked. It was a real challenge for us to pick it. What they do with this lock is they have discs in the lock. So there's no pins but discs. I'll just show you a few of these discs. I hope I'm in focus. Okay, well here you can see the discs that are inside. And here's the real notch, and they put some fake notches in as well. So when you start manipulating the lock, you'll experience like it's in the right position, but it's actually not. And it took us quite a while to figure out how to actually pick this lock because of the false notches. And then Paul Krauwel from Lockpicks, he found out that there's a technique that if you put the pick in the lock. Yep. Okay.
Wow, that's a big thumb.
Okay, now I'm at the first disc, and I'm trying to feel the cuts. Here's one cut. Then I go to the disc 2.
How many discs are usually in there?
Like 8.
Now, how to do the false cut?
Now, what Paul found out about these false cuts is that they are actually just a little bit tighter. So what you do is you go to one disc. You feel, hey, okay, it's getting, and you feel it's getting again, and you just go for the widest, you just go from one point of the cut to the other, and the widest is the right cut. And that actually was the trick. You have to feel the cuts.
Is that the tensioner, that black thing?
the tensioner that I'm holding here with my fingers. Do you know this one?
I know nothing about that top. I've seen it in my catalog, I've sold a couple, I've never had time to play with it.
Okay.
Which I did. It's so cool.
Well, now the shackle, is that to prevent a shim, or
does
it
make it
look more high-tech?
It keeps both colors off it. You can't get to the side of it. You can still go to the tip, but it's usually pretty hard to locked on the locks.
Well, they probably call it the insurance lock. I don't know why that is. And the people at Abbas were pretty upset that people were publicly picking their lock, because they had on their website this nice text. No, I need the folders.
Do they still have that on their webpage?
Sure, we will.
Okay, well, I think that we're going to get some people online for the microphone for some questions real quick. So everyone jump and run and push each other. I mean, don't. Get there once. Wait, one sec. Okay,
sorry if I'm wrong about this, but I also don't think you mentioned that possession of professional lockpick tools in certain states are illegal. I mean, you'll go
lockpicking tools are not illegal. Burglary tools are illegal. When I'm driving down the street with a hacksaw in my car and a whole bunch of money, I'm illegal. I personally always have had lockpicks in my wallet. Lockpicking tools, I'm not licensed.
Oh, okay.
I'm certified personally, but
certified by
Associated Lockpicks of America and Master Lockpicks of North Jersey. Sorry.
What exit?
With the picks and some good expensive stuff on your front seat, you're probably in trouble. Get pulled over for no good reason, and you haven't had picks with you, and they ask what they are, and you say it's one of my hobbies. Depending on who the cop is, it's a burglary tool, so is a hammer. That's how it falls under most laws as far as I've seen it. Other than that, good luck. You can get picked up for almost any tool. Okay. As far as burglary tools, any burglary tool they can pick you up for in the U.S. It doesn't matter whether it's a hammer or a burglary tool, so are picks. Picks are probably going to be more burglary tool than anything else in the bond, except for maybe a bunch of slim jeans in your car.
Okay, so
in many states.
Now, Abbas made an improvement on the lock, so that this tool actually only works at a certain range of their locks. But the people from the German support group, they made a tool that beats that. At this moment, there is negotiation with Abbas what to do. But when Abbas, they just had to take the text down, and now you read, our locks are really secure and very hard to pick, and they don't say it's impossible to pick anymore.
With the master combination lock demonstration, are there any commercially available combination locks that you can recommend that aren't vulnerable to that trick? Shim.
Off the top of my head, I don't know any. I know there are some out there. I don't know any off the top of my head. Normally, we just go.
There's a Sergeant and Greenlee padlocks. That are used in the military to keep cabinets closed.
Okay. Yeah, the SMG makes the locks.
Well, it used to be that locksmiths could look at these mechanical locks and try to figure out what's wrong. But now, with electronic locks, you need software engineers to take them apart, and there can be backdoors in the microcode, factory combinations, and bypass codes, which no locksmith would ever know about.
He's calling the computer guy who's a locksmith, too.
Right, not too many of us.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Real quick, I'm going to show up behind the city lock that is really interesting to a lot of people here. If anyone here happens to have a real good engineer who's micro tooling, I can think of him for this, but so far I can't. Instead of using pins, it's called Miwa, it's from Japan. Instead of using pins that are normal, he uses magnetic pins. Right. So all the little things inside, am I on camera?
Yeah.
All the little pieces inside, if you can see, and there's that, you can see now. All those little pieces are actually magnets polarized one way or the other. So instead of pushing and pulling the pins physically, it magnetically does it. Now, I haven't picked it yet, because I only have someone making a really little magnet, but it already does. Magnet on a stick, you know? That should do it. That's me one. Let me get another one. This one's called Pache. This isn't really made anymore. It might still be made, I haven't seen them, I haven't anymore. That's a pretty fancy looking cable, if you guys can see that. It's big, it's heavy, it's butch. I mean, it's my top lock. Look the keyway if I'm in camera right there. It's a pretty bush lock.
All of the frames.
Yeah, very much all over France. In the U.S., I've seen them a few places. I just happened to find one in the back of the truck. This one, and it's called a concept, literally was in the front of my shop. I saw this. I went, hey, cool, I've never seen that before. It's nothing more than three-pin tumblers, or three sets of tumblers in one lock. He looks very much like a big pointy sharp thing. It's just a bunch of cuts, so basically three. I've never seen this anywhere else, but it looked cool to me, so I got one. I've seen the Chinese one. The last thing to show is Asalok. This is a very good lock. I've never picked it. I think he said he had it. Have you ever picked this one?
No.
Yeah, this one I have. It's possible, but the trick with this is the standard cuts, if you can see in this angle, there's the standard cuts on top, and on the side there's another set of cuts. Those cuts, rather than being pins normally, they're pins with little fingers on the side that are right up and down, so you have to make the first set and the second set at once. I ain't that good yet. Yeah, they don't bounce all the pick on either. That's Asa. And real quick, because I know we're going to be running out of time. How are we on time? Okay, 30 minutes. Thank you. Say block. Look, it's shiny. It's square. And then, padlock. That's padlock. It's got hardened stuff and metal. This one is actually a cheap clone of the American 7-on-1, which is the common padlock you see on every storefront. They're a real good padlock. This is a real cheap padlock. If it doesn't say American on it, I personally don't trust it, and that's not my product itself. Yes, sir. This one, Americans can be the one I said. Yes, sir, question.
Where did you go to get this tool, the lock tools in every place?
The internet. Everything is on the internet. Or playing with the lockpick, which I found out when I was 11.
WSC.com.
There's 11 of my lockpicks I have on my wall to this day. My name is the lockpick. Yes, sir.
I brought a lock for you. It's locked at the They use a block up M110, 1016, not night vision goggles.
We're looking at a ticket for you. American padlock. These pins, the top pins have staggers in them. It's actually pretty hard, so I'll let him do the best stuff. That's impressive.
Question about the Miwa, the magnetic one?
Yes, sir.
Those pins, is there a range where they have to fall, or is it an all or nothing?
It's positive or negative.
So
they either up or down. So basically,
if you wired that with a little electromagnet, you engineered them, somebody could write an algorithm just to flip all the permutations pretty fast.
Only limitation has the physical.
Oh, yeah.
There's a spring pushing at it.
Yeah.
And you just risk the springs. I think personally, if you took a stick with a little magnetic head that reads the positive and negative, and you're ready to them, and there's only eight on each side, it'll take about 30 seconds, and you just take the key and stick it in.
Woo!
Or you convert the converter. You can make a race for those, but it's really hard to get attention. Yes, sir, question.
I got a question about the. I don't know if there are any other locks in the US that have this sort of a layout, but the key stuff for the new Volkswagens, where it's got a groove cut on the side.
Those are called laser cuts. Mm-hmm.
Can I take that one?
Go for it.
You're talking about this lock. I never know you. I never met you. They look pretty sophisticated. I hope I can zoom in. Okay. And actually, some people found out how to pick them, and they made this, the design for this pick.
Guy's name is Randy Mines. He's a little southern guy with no teeth. Something okay. Kirsten said it's impossible, so he said, that's for you! Who's this guy know? No problem, Randy. He's building it, it's okay, he's off camera. Once he's done building it, then we'll do it on camera. No, he's not camera. Parts falling on the ground. I'm pretty good with it. Down the floor, the ignition will be a little bit different.
Can you go home for lunch?
I'm not advised, but I'll do my best. It's not there anymore, it was him.
No.
Yes.
I'm a
white. I think you mentioned the second gun that you used was modified by the owner. I was just curious as to how it was modified.
So it has better raging motion. But
you
just took out a few things to make it more silent, but to make it more effective with the power transfer from the engine to the...
Summary, you overclocked it. got a little extra buffer to keep the noise down and add in an extra power and pop, 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 pop.
Can you recommend any particular website or anything where you can find a good set?
Yeah, there's this guy in the Netherlands, this Paul Krauwe. Locktools.nl. Locktools.nl. And on security.nl, you can find a lot of information about specific locks. If you say, well,
Padlock,
military padlock.
Yeah,
open military lock.
Okay, I can give it a try. And also, the German people from the German sport group, they have a real nice website. It's lockpicking.org. So these are the three websites that you could probably get this.
Any other questions? Line John. Okay, some guy way in the back. You have to stay.
I think we're running
out of time. Just about out of time. I'm screaming real loud. FedEx.
I FedEx them. Better be safe than sorry.
So we're just about done wrapping up. Okay, what do you got in that? Scream loud.
General question. Do you prefer a key lock or a combination lock?
I prefer key locks. But if you don't want to carry your key with you, get a combination lock. If you don't want to carry a combination with you, get a key pad.
Don't get the cheap one that I just...
Yes, it does make a high security series. Not it. Yes, sir, run in the middle of the back.
Is that the mask that you just recommended? Are there any other brands, combination locks you recommend?
Yeah, you mentioned the Sergeant Relay makes a very nice combination lock. It's very heavy duty. It's used by the military. I think it's the X-12 or X-2 or something like that. So you're running great, but we're running out of time.
Yeah, without the shim, how can you pick a combination lock?
What was that?
Without the ship, how can you pick a combination lock?
Go on, like, the amateur spook or something to find out. it's in there. It's just, you can feel out the master padlock. Otherwise, we're talking about real safe locks. Yeah, it's hard. It's real hard. I got one here. I can show you how it takes me about an hour to explain. Yes, in the back.
How secure are Best locks?
Best is just a brand name, like any other lock. Best makes a nice decor. That's a nice lock. And we're wrapping it up because he's doing this thing. What's this?
Running out of time.
Kill it. Just
throw it. I think the safe is. Okay, I didn't pick the lock. Too bad. Next time. See you guys in 2 years.
Thanks a lot.